The Holy Gospel according to Mark, the 8th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus went on with his disciples to the villages of Caesarea Philippi, and on the way he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And they answered him, "John the Baptist, and others Elijah, and still others one of the prophets." He asked them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter answered him, "You are the Messiah." And he sternly ordered them not to tell anyone about him. Jesus began to teach them that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He said all this quite openly, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and looking at his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." He called the crowd with his disciples and said to them, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. For what will it profit them to gain the whole world and forfeit their life? Indeed, what can they give in return for their life? Those who are ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of them the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. What's in a name? For a rose by any other name would still smell as sweet. A beautiful quote taken from Shakespeare's Romeo and Juliet. And I suppose it might be true, but in my experience, a name is vitally important. The first time I tried to feed my children fish and called it fish, they pushed away their plate in disgust. The next time I called it chicken, and they thought it was wonderful. There really is something significant about how we name and what we call things. Whenever a baby is going to be born, parents agonize over the name. Will we name her after her great-grandma Helga, which was almost my fate? Or maybe go with the more popular Zoe or a traditional Hannah? Will we keep connections among all our children's names or wait until he's born and let him tell us what his name should be? We search websites, read books, and consult others, trying to find the perfect of names for all our beloved offspring. Names in Scripture, however, are chosen much differently. Parents don't simply name their child after any relative, but each and every name in Scripture has a meaning. And ultimately, that name foreshadows the life that follows. Everyone's name says as much, if not more, about them than the actions they perform. Abraham, the father of nations, literally means the father of many. Leah, a name that means weary, was the unloved wife of Jacob and mother to 7 children. Adam, the first human, is a name closely related to the stuff of the earth from which he was formed. Every time we encounter a name in Scripture, we understand that its meaning plays an integral part to the person's personality and actions. Which is why Jesus' question to his disciples is so significant. Who do people say that I am? And ultimately, who do you say that I am? He's not merely asking them to recall his name, but pleading with them to answer, who am I? What's my purpose? Why is it exactly that you are here following me? And we hear a list of the possibilities. Maybe Jesus is really John the Baptist, an end times preacher. Or Elijah, a miracle worker empowered by God. Or maybe he's just a prophet who speaks for and about God. And finally, Peter steps in. "You are the Messiah," he says. "You are the one who has come to free us, to lead us into the kingdom of God. You're the one who is here to show us what God wants for the world. And you will become a victorious savior for us all." And Jesus says that he has named him rightly. He indeed is the one who has come to lead God's people, to save God's people, and he goes on to tell them where this journey will lead. In naming Jesus the Messiah, Peter was adhering to the tradition that the Jewish people had followed for thousands of years. For the Messiah they hoped for would be the one to regain control over Israel and Israel's people. In naming Jesus, Peter saw him as one who would become their king, who would overthrow Roman government oppression and would continue the rule that began years and years ago with King David. Jesus, on the other hand, had other ideas. For in naming himself the Messiah, the Savior meant that he was to undergo tremendous suffering, be rejected by those in charge, killed, and then ultimately be raised 3 days later. His name would not lead him to the glorious throne that Peter intended, but would lead him to die a death for the entire world. And Peter did what any good friend, any faithful follower would do. He cried out, "No, we'll call you by another name. We'll name you something different. We'll point you in a different path because death is not going to be the end for you." And in turn, Jesus names Peter Satan, demanding that he turn his direction towards God and away from the ways that lead down the path of success and power that the world offers. And then going even further, Jesus names the rest of us as well. He calls us all disciples, followers of the Messiah, and by naming us, shows us where our actions will be directed and where our lives will go. We, simply by being here, are Christ's followers, or as I heard someone say, Christians, Christians, ones who find their names in Christ. And whether we're here because we believe or because we desperately want to believe, we are here as ones named by God to be Christ's followers in the world. And being named ones, we're called to go out into the world and follow a Christ whose life ultimately leads to death. We're called to live as ones who find our glory and honor not in paychecks or new houses, not in intellect or successes, but we find our glory in the one whose very life consisted of serving and healing, of life and grace, of sacrifice and brokenness. So I happen to come from a family of Pentecostal pastors, 5 of my uncles to be exact. And this is one place where our theologies fundamentally clash. They believe that if one prays hard enough, if one believes hard enough, if one follows Jesus faithfully enough, then their life will be perfectly blessed. They'll receive the car that they prayed for, the job that they longed for, the prestige that they yearn for. I keep trying to tell them that they're wrong. That's not working. So if they don't believe me, maybe they'll believe Jesus. Because Jesus says that following him will lead to the foot of the cross. And like Peter, we long to tell him that there must be another way, because by following Jesus, we have to set aside our own personal desires and enter into the mission in the world, into all those places where we would rather not be. We're called to serve those we'd rather not see, to feed those on the other side of the tracks, to clean the wounds of those we cannot bear to touch. We're called to live side by side those who have hurt and persecuted and ridiculed us. Called to live our lives named as followers, with crosses marked on our forehead, serving the hurting world around us. Following Jesus does indeed mean denying ourselves, and it means going out into a hurting and broken world. But it also means we live these lives of ours deeply connected to the one who created us. It means we live our lives resting in the promise that all those wounded places we enter into have already been touched by God's presence. It means we are able to see and witness to grace in the midst of pain, and peace in the midst of fear, and life in the midst of death. Being named a disciple means living a life of following and learning and constantly seeking to discover what is in Jesus' name. And it also means living and dwelling and deeply abiding with the one who has dared to name us, has dared to call us, and who dares to lead us out into a world longing to be met by Jesus.